Hey there, this is Seth Lawrence from Channel 9 with Pranav, who has the giggles.
I have the giggles, sir. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you. I thought, like, look, when it comes...
I do have the giggles, yes. Go on.
Yes. When it comes to ASP.NET, vNext, there's tons of new stuff.
True.
And it feels like, and whenever you're writing a website, the first thing you think about is, how do I do authentication?
Right.
And now that I know who people are, how do I do authorization? And there's been some changes.
There has been some changes, yes.
There has. So why don't you get into the difference between authentication versus authorization. I almost got them mixed up.
Oh, that's fine. So, you know, a very primary definition of authentication is basically, are you who you are?
Yeah.
How do you prove yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are Seth.
Yeah.
So as you walked in the building, you had to swipe your badge or, like, you know, put your password in. That's why
broke a window.
Broke a window.
Just anything generally.
And that's why I giggle. And then once you are authenticated, how do we know what are you authorized to do?
I see.
So in some cases, you know, you can access all buildings on campus, but you might not access some of the buildings that are restricted.
Sure.
So that's authorization, basically. You can authenticate yourself, but you don't have authorization to do certain things.
I see. In
an application and a site. Classical examples are, you know, if I am building my e-commerce site, I can log in and I can purchase orders on the site, but only an admin can come and look at all the orders in that particular site.
I see.
So the admin areas are now restricted access, so you need to be authorized to be able to access these areas.
So before, if I remember in ASP.NET, on the controller actions, you could decorate the actions with a role, and then you had to put a string of what role you were in there.
Right. So the way we would express authorization earlier on was like, you know, what's your username? And in your controllers, you could put an attribute saying this controller can only be accessed by users who have authenticated with this username or users which have a role. For example, users can belong to an admin role, so mm-hmm. they can access an admin controller and perform admin functionalities.
Mm-hmm.
And users who are not admins cannot access that particular activity.
Okay, so that's more of an authorization.
That's
function.
More of an authorization.
So what has changed in authentication? And then we'll just spitball talk about what has changed in authorization, and then maybe we get into some code. So what has changed in authentication?
So what's changed in authentication between ASP.NET 5 and which is MVC 6 and what you used to get in as MVC 5 is we already had a lot of the building blocks down there. So we had Identity 2, we had all the open middlewares for you can authenticate with social logins like Facebook, Twitter, or Azure AD.
Mm-hmm.
So most of those scenarios carry forward from MVC 5 to MVC 6. It's just the programming model has changed on how do you register these middlewares in your application.
I see. So it's the same thing, except now we need to sort of inject into the middleware this sort of handler.
Correct. But in terms of scenarios, they're still the same. I can still log in with the username password, or I can log in with Facebook. I can also enable two-factor auth on my application. So after I log in with the username password, then I have to authenticate with my phone as well as an extra.
Authentication is mostly the same.
Is mostly the same, yes.
Authorization has changed a lot, from what I understand.
Right. So authorization has changed a lot as well now that we've added more features. So you can do the same scenarios that you had, that you can authorize a particular controller based on a user or a user's role or a user claims. And you can also define custom policies. For example, let's say I have this shopping cart application or a movies application. And I want to define an authorization policy that only admin users can edit a particular entry.
Got it.
So it's very verbose. So we have an authorization middleware that sits in the pipeline where you can now define policies, and you can define more richer policies that a user should have a claim type admin, and also a username should have admin. So you're combining two different authorization rules and making a policy out of it.
I see. So you mentioned claims, which is that new in ASP.NET 5 as well?
No, that's claims has always been around in the .NET framework. It's just that now that we are surfacing claims as a top level in all of our API surface. So you can now put on a controller in the authorize attribute, you can also set a policy, and a policy can take in a list of claims that you are going to authorize the user against.
I see. So policy is kind of the newer thing where you're defining, I'm assuming in code.
In code.
Where the user has to have this claim, and they also have to be able, they also have to have this and this. You can pretty much put whatever you want in a policy.
Right. You can pretty much, it's you own the authorization policy at that point.
And so now what you're doing is you're decorating an action method on a controller and saying, use this policy.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct. Or controller action, like wherever in your app. And you can even use these authorization policy in your views. So let's say, you know, you have your shopping cart example. On the top headers, you normally see, you know, home, about, contact, register, login links. Mm-hmm. Let's say if you want to put an admin link, and you only want to show this link for users who have logged in and have an authorization policy of admin. So you can do those checks inside your views as well.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's look at some code. Let's first start with the authentication, and then we'll look at some authorization.
Sure. So what I have done over here is I've sort of gone ahead and created a new project using the file new dialog. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to choose a web application. I'm going to, the default authentication is individual user accounts. And so if you select change authentication, you'll see the following four options for a web application. Mm-hmm. NoAuth means that, you know, this application has no authentication built in. So it's a simple MVC site, which allows you to browse to home, about, and contact pages. Individual accounts allows you to create an app where users can log in or create an account with a username and password, or they can log in with Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft accounts, and they can also optionally enable two-factor auth for their accounts as well.
Got it.
Work in school accounts allows you to create an app where you're now authenticating with Azure Active Directory.
Got it.
So these are your traditional line of business applications. So in my example, I was using individual user accounts. I'm just going to cancel.
Okay.
And cancel again. And then load my favorite project up.
Web application 77.
Because it's a good number.
That's right.
77 is always a good number.
So just as before we do that, if you're using a Yeoman generator, for example, to build this, because you can do that, obviously.
Right.
Does the Yeoman generator does the same kinds of, has the same options, more or less?
Yes. So the Yeoman generators are very similar to the ASP.NET templates that ship with Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. And they also have two options where you can create a web app with no authentication, mm-hmm. or a web app with individual auth, and you get exactly the same structure. The differences are, like in Visual Studio, we're going to use Entity Framework SQL Server provider to persist your membership information inside a database. In the Yo generators, we use the EF SQLite provider.
Got it.
Because that's a cross-plat story.
Sure.
So you can run it on a Mac or a Linux, and
that's
the only difference. From a template perspective, you can do the same scenarios in either one.
Awesome. And so before, I remember if you're using the standard membership provider, it would make this entire database structure for you.
Right.
And is it doing the same thing in this next version?
Yes. Okay. So we build out a schema for you, and then underneath the covers, so the core of identity doesn't do any persistence. So you can build your own provider for table storage, Redis, SQL, whatever. We have an EF implementation that we use, so Entity Framework. And we use Entity Framework to, we give the schema, and then EF creates the database
Got
for
it.
Us. And so you have control over how do you want to customize the schema as well. Let's say if you want to change table names, you would basically follow the EF pattern on how do you change a table name.
Okay.
So it's just EF basically at
Got
that
it.
Point in time. Yep. So I'm going to show you sort of as an outline of the project. We'll run it, sort of create a user, and then so that sort of good understanding of how it looks like. So the first step that we do is we can look at what package did we have to install. And I'm going to start with sort of the high level ones. So let's take a look at it. So the EF package is basically there for Entity Framework persistence. Mm-hmm. Cookies is a package which allows you to generate a cookie once a user logs in. So a user registers or logs in, there's a cookie in the browser, mm-hmm. and so next time, you know, we read information from the cookie. So that's our cookie middleware.
Right.
Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Twitter are just middlewares for social providers. Then we have the identity EF, which is the main package that you need to bring in, and it'll bring in all the dependencies. And this installs the identity framework, which is the membership system. Mm-hmm. It also pulls in cookies, it also pulls in authorization, and so basically you're good to go. So that's the top level package if you want to do membership. And then we go ahead and look at startup, where we register all our services. And so the key things to look at is here I'm adding the EF services where I'm defining my database. Mm-hmm. Then I'm adding my services for identity. Mm-hmm. So this adds your top level like user manager and role manager, and then takes in a POCO of application user. Mm-hmm. And so if you have 12 into it, so this is how your user object will look like. So if a user has first name, last name, birthday, hometown, you can add any of those properties over here. And that's how you can change the schema.
Got it.
And identity is going to register other services for you, like cookies and authorization, for example. And then once we've added all the services, then we can use the middlewares and add them in the request pipeline. So now this is a change that we is sort of more prominent from MVC5 and ASP.NET 4.6 to MVC6, ASP.NET 5,
sure.
is how do you register the middlewares? So as we saw, we added, this is how you register Facebook. You pass in an ID and a secret. Right now, all middlewares are commented out because this app doesn't need any. And once we enable it, we can look at it, how it works. So really, all you have to do is come over here and add these two services.
Okay. Right?
And then you just have to write now simple views where somebody can register mm-hmm. by a username password, and they can log in by a username and password.
I see. And there's where you would assign a role, et cetera.
If you had to.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So I can show you the views for account and register. You know, it uses tag. The views are using tag helper. So this is the form tag helper. It all automatically adds the anti-XSRF token for you, mm-hmm. so you don't have to add it. And then all we are asking for is username, password, and confirm password. And in this application, we are treating emails and usernames to be the same.
I see.
Now, you can change it if you want to have two different fields, one for username and one for email. Mm-hmm. This sample app is optimized that it treats email as username, which is a more common scenario.
Sure.
But it is a fairly debatable
yeah.
default. And then we can look at the controller, which is the account controller, and how do you register and how do you log in as
sure.
the two actions, right? So I can look at the register action. It's a standard practice where we take in a view model that gets passed from the view to the controller, mm-hmm. and then we can bind. So here we are creating a user object, and this is the application user class that we had looked at right before this. So as you notice, username and email is the same. Mm-hmm. If username was a different field in my UI, then I would have changed this to be model.username.
Sure.
And then if I was taking in more properties like birth date and stuff, then I can just come and change it. And then I'm using the identity APIs to create the user with this password. So this is going to create a user inside the system and generate a new record. And then if the create was successful, then this could mean that, you know, either my password validations were met or the user was not a duplicate entry, then I can add some logging information, which we'll cover later, and then I can sign in. And what sign in does is it takes the user and all the claims that we add for the user. So by default, we add email as a claim as the name claim.
I see.
And there are no claim type role that we add. But if I were to add claims here, then they'll be persisted as well on the cookie. And so sign in basically takes the user, generates a cookie, and signs the user in into the application.
Got it.
That's this is what mints the identity. And if you were wondering how I'm like, what is user manager?
Mm-hmm. That's was gonna be my next question.
So I'm gonna just F12. And what we're doing is, you know, the other bigger change that has happened is ASP.NET 5 is it is DI friendly. Yeah. So all, if you remember earlier in my application, I was adding services to the container. Mm-hmm. So that means I'm adding identity services to the container, which I can retrieve in my controllers. And in my controller, I'm retrieving these two high-level managers. And managers are top-level concepts that you use to like create a user, delete a user, add claims to a user, remove right. claims to the user. And sign-in is all about signing in the user and generating the cookie out of it.
And so the system, what it's doing is because you registered these services when the application started, now anytime you new up a controller, if you have those things in the constructor, the system is just going to put them in, whatever which one it has.
Yes, yes. So these are already injected. I'm getting it in my controller. And then in my register action, I can just use these managers, user manager and sign-in manager. So that's what it is. We can just run this application. I can say register. So I can say, oh, let me put this. How about this?
Yeah, of course. I mean, one day I'm obviously going to be your employee, so.
One day.
One day.
So if I say register, and then I can go to the home page, you'll see like this hello.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can look at this, how are we getting this username out as well. So in my views, shared, layout, I have this login partial where I'm checking if the user is authenticated,
mm-hmm.
then I want to display this logout form and I'm going to get the username. So get username is an extension method that we've added that looks at the claim type username and then gives back the value basically.
So theoretically in the claims you could put other things as well, like an admin claim.
Yes.
Or some other claim.
Yep, yep. Or you can get the list of claims and then you can iterate over it.
I see.
And then you can choose what you want to do.
So when you're, so say there's a list of claims when they log in and you fetch that list. In the sign-in manager, how do you give it those claims so that it's persisted in the cookie? Or do you do that?
You can choose. So normally, as a best practice, you don't want to put too big claims.
Because the cookie gets large.
Cookie gets large. And then ASP.NET 5 also adds a chunking feature in cookies. If the cookies are too large, it's going to start chunking. But as a best practice, like you want to be careful about how much information you want to put as claims versus storing it as profile properties in the database.
Got it.
So for example, you know, as you were looking at our application user, I mentioned that you could add, for example, your hometown over here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add it over here, it gets persisted in the database.
Got it.
But you can also add hometown as a claim, and which is also information about the user.
I see.
So you have to be careful on how much do you put in a claim and what you put in a claim and what do you put in the database.
Got it. Yep. Okay.
Right. So we saw how our register worked. And then I can go back and I can log off. And I can log in. And then I get the same username, so we can look at the login controller. So again, we have a login view.
Mm-hmm.
This is mostly boilerplate code where, you know, there's a form which takes in an email and a password. And then it does a postback. And now we use the sign-in manager dot password sign-in async, where it'll check that this username password is correct, and then it'll sign you in. The reason we have this API is also that internally we hash the passwords. We don't store passwords in clear text. And that's where the membership system or identity comes in. Like, theoretically, you can just not use identity and say, like, here's my username password, and just sign me in and generate me a cookie. Mm-hmm. And the question is, like, where do you store this password?
Right.
And that's where you have to use the identity system for all the hashing benefits that you get, and then the salting, and then password sign-in does the thing. It says a reverse lookup on this password, basically.
Okay.
Right, so this was a simple case of registering a user instead of logging in as well. If I go to my app and I log off and I log in, you would see that I only have an option of logging in with an email and a password. I don't have option of logging in with some third-party service.
Mm-hmm.
So I can show you how you can enable third-party logins as well.
Okay, let's do that.
So remember in my startup, first in my project JSON, like, we have all these middlewares that we installed for you. And so in my startup, I can go to configure, which is where I add middlewares to the request pipeline. And I can scroll down, and we have some commented out middlewares. I already have the keys for Facebook, and there's a detailed tutorial that talks to you on how to get the keys. As a best practice, you want to store the keys using the secret manager so that they're not checked in into source control.
Right.
Just for the purpose of the demo, I have the keys over here. So if I comment it, and then I go and refresh the page, so you'll see that the Facebook button lights up. So let's look at the markup on how did this happen, right? So I can go back to login. If you scroll down, so this is a section of how do you log in with an external provider.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see we have these check where we get the list of external providers. In this case, the count is not zero. And so we basically iterate over all the providers and then display a button for all of them, basically. And so as I keep uncommenting providers here, you know, this code will allow me to show the buttons. And each one does the postback. So in a traditional social login flow, you know, you'll click a button from my site, and we'll redirect you to facebook.com. You'll enter your credentials, and you'll come back, and we'll grab an email for you, basically. So that's basically what happens.
But for example, when they want to log in again, they can still use the provider for logging in, right?
Yes. Yes. yep. So let's click that. Let's go to Facebook. Right. That is interesting.
So what do we got there?
Right. So it says the given URL is not permitted by the application configuration. Oh, okay. So the reason this happened was because I am currently using HTTP. When I had registered my app with Facebook, and I had received the app ID and app secret, mm-hmm. I had registered a callback URL as HTTPS. So remember, like, when I said you click login, you'll go to the Facebook site and you'll come back to the site. So there needs to be a registered callback URL. So I'm just going to browse to the HTTPS endpoint for this site and then log in again. And so now I can enter my Facebook password, which is super secure. started using this app after one of my accounts got compromised.
Oh no.
Yep. I don't remember any of my passwords.
Nice.
So now I've logged in with Facebook. And you can see now like external logins is one. I can manage it. If I had more than one provider like Google, Microsoft, then this list would keep growing as well. Also, if you notice that there is in the password, there is change password. And if you notice that I can change the password as well, I had already created an account.
So what if it's the first time you're logging in? What, there's going to be no password in there, right?
There'll be no password over here, basically, yes. Since I'd already logged in, I already have a password. So that's a good point that you bring up as well. The reason you want to provide social logins is so that you don't have to require users to create a username password on your site. Mm-hmm. So you could also have a model over here where you can just build up an app and just disable allowing users to create an account using a username password. Mm-hmm. So you never have to maintain a password on your site.
Right.
A user can always log in through any of the social providers, basically.
So what is it that you're storing then to identify a user? Does Facebook give you something back, like some kind of ticket, or what is it that they give you that says this is this person?
So eventually, just a user you get back, and there's an ID. Mm-hmm. And then you can store the ID, basically.
Got it.
And then you can use that ID to map the application user to your business logic, basically, at that point in time. there's nothing secret about it. Like, each time you authenticate with Facebook directly. Yep. Right. So that was social logins. I think what I wanted to talk about was we should look at authorization a little bit.
Okay, let's do that.
Right, so I'm going to open up my home controller. And you would see right now that the home controller is not protected. Like, I'm not logged in, and I can click home, mm-hmm. right? We can start with the basics, basically, on what we used to have before. So we can say authorize, which was the attribute that was there since mm-hmm. MVC5. And if I put there, that means that only authorized users can log in. Now if I go refresh, I get redirected back to the login page.
Right.
The reason I get redirected back is because when I click home, it is authorized, so the authorization middleware kicks in and returns 403 back, mm-hmm. and then the cookie middleware picks it up, and then we show you the login page as well. So, and you can change the responses that you get.
Got it. So how do you tell it where the login page is?
So the defaults are /account/login, and then you can configure the cookie middleware to specify what's your login path.
Okay.
So that's up to you. So and then authorize, if we look at the IntelliSense, it takes in, you know, roles, which is what we used to have, like authorize this controller based on the following roles mm-hmm. that the user has. Or we also have this new feature called policy. And let's see how do you add a policy and how do we authorize this controller based on a policy that we define.
Okay.
Right? So the first thing that we have to do is we have to download the NuGet package. Since I already have identity installed, it pulls in all the dependencies. It pulls in the authorization package. Authorize. So this is a new search feature where it searches packages as well. So if you look at authorization, it's pulled in by a lot of different components. So MVC pulls it in. Razor pulls it in. So there are a bunch of core like frameworks that pull authorization in. But if you're creating a empty app mm-hmm. where you have nothing, then authorization is the package that you want to download.
Okay.
Okay. So let's cancel that. And then you have to go to your startup, and then you have to configure the authorization policy. So so you can do services dot add authorization, and then and you can configure it. So this takes in a lambda. And then you can say configure dot add policy, or there is a default policy. So default policy basically says
are you logged in or not?
Yeah. And so let's add a new policy. This is my policy name. Let's call it Seth. And then I can define my policy. Which is policy dot. All right, so this is where I can mix and match basically. You know, policy dot require claim, require role, require username. If you do require claim, then I can specify a claim type and what should be the values of it. So claims type is a that this exists in the framework. Claim types dot. So these are all the claims that I can define for the user. So as I said, you know, like date of birth could be a profile property that you persist in the database or in the cookie, depending on what you want. So I can say claims type on name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I need to pass in what is the set of values to allow. So new string. So let's call it set at
pranav.com, right?
Right.
And you can continue to require claim. You can also do policy.require role. You can do a whole bunch of things.
Exactly, exactly. So this add policy set can also have, you know, policy dot something else. Like
there's a delegate in there, which means you can literally execute code to check the policy. It's like you're deferring the check of the policy until a certain time.
Exactly, exactly. So we added a name type called set, and then the policy name is called set. And so now I can go to my home controller, and I can say authorize, and I can use specify the policy name. And now if I go back, to home,
it redirects us to login, which is the right thing.
And I say set at pranav.com. Now if I click home, I can see this.
Right. But if you log on as your Facebook person.
Right. So let's try that. I say log off. And I log in with Facebook. And so keep in mind, I got this error because I went to Facebook and Facebook does a post on my home.
Mm-hmm.
And my home page is protected, and that's why I get this error.
Nice.
Right. So you can see that, yeah, I'm getting this error basically. So, but if I were to just do log off and, right, so now I get the anti-forgery exception because the place I was posting from is different, and I just hit refresh on the page. So that's the anti-SSRF protection.
I see. So what happens, form helps. You were redirected back to the page.
Right.
And it was a certain page, and you're when you're refreshing, you're trying to post to the page, and it's saying, wait a minute, these aren't the same requests.
Right.
It's coming from different places.
Right.
This might be forged.
Right.
So this might be someone trying to log in as you from Facebook, but it's saying, no, this isn't Facebook.
No. Exactly.
Got it.
And all you have to do, all the magic is basically here in the form tag helper that we use that injects an anti-XSRF token for
us. I see.
Earlier in MVC5, you had to basically, after each form, you had to do HTML dot anti-forgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're using tag helpers, that's already done for you.
And that's nice, because I think this is important, right? What's happening is you're hitting refresh.
Right.
But the system is looking at this and saying, wait a minute, Facebook initiated this request.
Right.
Which means that someone else is trying to get in here and say, oh, I'm Facebook, log in.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So just to refresh it, you know, I'm just going to go to
the homepage.
Which is protected.
So you got to go to login.
Yeah, let's just go to account/register. We can just create a new account like foo123.
Maybe we shouldn't have protected the homepage.
Yeah, that's a bad idea, actually.
We should have protected the about page or something.
Foo111. 4 1s is a good number.
Yeah, of course.
So now I am. Wait, what? Yep. Let me just close this browser.
It might be. We might have just put it into a bad state too.
We are known to do that. Let's change the home controller and just move this to the about action.
Yeah.
That's a wise thing. What do you say?
Yeah, I think so. It's trying to protect us, though. We can't fault it for this.
So about should redirect us, and then we can quickly set Pranav at setpranav.com. That's a nice name. Right. And now if I go to contact, I'm logged in.
Mm-hmm.
But about should, yep, redirect me back. And I can handle these exceptions in my startup as well. I can say like all the unauthorized exceptions.
So go to this page.
Can go to this page, or you know, I can display a custom error message saying that, hey, I know you're authenticated, but you're not authorized. To see this section.
Is it just returning a 403 or something, and then it's just saying it doesn't exist, or is it just saying it doesn't exist?
So I think it's returning a 403. We also added new status codes on unauthorized request.
Mm-hmm.
I think earlier unauthorized also meant unauthenticated, so that's why you were redirected.
I see.
And so you can control, fine-tune on what does unauthorized mean.
Oh, I see. Because authentication is, again, saying you are who you say you are. But then the policies will return this doesn't exist because you're not the right.
Right.
You don't belong to the policy.
Okay. Right. So, yep, that's basically how we define authorization policies and how... You know, you can use define authorization policies, a bunch of them. You can use them inside your controller. You can also optionally inject them in your views. So here I can inject authorization policy, and I can do a check as well that if this user is authenticated and this policy is a test, then only display this log off.
I see. Well, cool. So we've looked at authentication. We saw how to authenticate using the built-in entity framework identity stuff.
Right.
We also looked at using Facebook, and obviously you can use some other things in there. And then we looked at new authorization policies. Is there anything that we've missed or anywhere we can go to learn more?
Docs.asp.net. You know, that's where we're adding our documentation. It's still a work in progress, but that's where you'll get most of the tutorials on how to use these features.
And Beta 8 just came out, so it feels like we're hardening things a lot.
And Beta 8 just came out, so what we just looked at was the Beta 8 bits that just went out, yep.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us, bud.
Thank you so much, Seth.
Thanks so much for watching. Again, we're looking at ASP.NET, how to do authentication and authorization with Pranav. Thanks for being with us, and we will see you next time. Take care.